Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we got time. We got lots of time to share vital health information with you on this beautiful weekend. Wherever you are, you can call us, 888-302-3684 is our number. We got lots to talk about, so should you choose to call, great. We'll field your questions about medicine and nutrition, or, hey, we'll dip into our bag of stories here. Lots of stories this week. Lots of information on the health front that I'm going to send out in your direction. So before we get to phone calls, here's a story that's along the lines of the theme, it's not your fault, you're fat. Okay, so many ways that our environment can subvert our efforts to lose weight. It has to do with genetics to some extent. It has to do, of course, with lifestyle. Diet and exercise are very, very important when it comes to that thermodynamic equation that ultimately determines whether you gain weight or lose weight. But there are factors sometimes that subvert our efforts to lose weight, among which are stress. Yeah, it turns out that stress can keep the pounds on. That's a theme that we've visited frequently here on Intelligent Medicine. But here's a notion that I think you might find surprising when it comes to obstacles to weight loss. Exposure to air pollution increases the risk of obesity. This study was performed via Duke University, but what they did is apparently they imported some air from Beijing, China. I don't know what they did. They gathered it up in canisters. They flew it via Air Express to laboratories in North Carolina. And then they exposed laboratory rats to Beijing's highly polluted air. Here's what they found. The rats gained weight and experienced cardiorespiratory and metabolic dysfunctions. All that pollution gummed up their metabolic works, slowed their metabolism, impaired their energy production and fat burning, and ultimately what they got is a lot of rats with bad lungs and livers, increased tissue inflammation, and higher weights. The rats also had higher LDL cholesterol, higher triglycerides, higher total cholesterol, and more insulin, which is a precursor to type 2 diabetes. Okay, the study appeared in the March issue of something called the FASCB Journal, the Journal of the Federation of American Societies for Experimental Biology. After only 19 days, the lungs and livers of pregnant rats exposed to the polluted air were heavier and showed increased tissue inflammation. The rats had 50% higher LDL cholesterol, 46% higher triglycerides, 97% higher total cholesterol. Their insulin resistance, which is a precursor to type 2 diabetes, was higher than their clean air breathing counterparts. So what the heck is going on here? Well, pollution results in metabolic dysfunction, which is a precursor to obesity, chronic inflammation caused by air pollutants, is known as a factor that contributes to obesity. And so they say, if translated and verified in humans, these findings will support the urgent need to reduce air pollution, given the growing burden of obesity in today's highly polluted world. And I have a family member. He's a distant nephew who recently spent a year in one of China's major cities. It may have been Beijing. It may have been Shanghai. But he learned Chinese. He became an expert in Asian languages. And he just came back to the United States. And I said, "Are you going back there?" And he said, "No." He said, "I'm not going back." "Why?" I said, "Why aren't you going back there? It's a great opportunity. You can learn more. You know, it's important for Americans to master Chinese. There's going to be a lot of interchange between China and America. That could be a great career for you. And he said, that's fine. He said, I'm okay with that, but I want to stay in the United States because my health deteriorated markedly when I was living in that polluted environment. My lungs, my throat, my eyes were burning, and I was coming down with frequent illnesses. And I just got to get back to the States. I'm fine with pursuing a career in teaching Chinese language, but I'm going to pursue it stateside and not over there in China. All right. So, hey, and a lot of people thinking, well, China's going to overtake America. They got some serious problems over there. And although their economy is roaring, not so much lately, the tremendous environmental devastation that's occurring as part of their Great Leap Forward is putting their entire population at risk. And a sick population does not yield a productive economy long term. Yeah, short term gain, but long term pain for the Chinese if they don't clean up their acts. All right, 888-302-3684 is our number. And we got Steve from Akron, Ohio. Welcome, Steve. How you doing?
Yeah, good, Doctor. I enjoyed Dr. Gio Espinosa's informative podcast on prostate cancer.
Yeah, can I tell our listeners a little bit about that? And I'll let you ask your question. This is a recent podcast that we did with Dr. Gio Espinosa. He wrote a book called Thrive, Don't Just Survive, which means that he's got a natural approach to treatment of prostate cancer. And this is really coming into vogue these days. I mean, it may sound, wow, you know, what about surgery? What about radiation? What about advanced hormonal treatments? Well, it turns out for prostate cancer, natural treatments make a big difference, and sometimes in lieu of conventional treatments, and sometimes to support or augment the benefits of conventional treatments. Very, very exciting new findings in his new book. So I recommend it highly. There was a podcast that we did recently. You can find it at drhoffman.com. I recommend it to all men who may have prostate cancer or concerned about prostate cancer. It's a great podcast, so check it out. So go ahead, Steve. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I have a friend. He's 81.
Yeah.
He had beam radiation for prostate cancer in 2008.
Right.
Now his PSA is 10. It went up 4 points in the last 6 months.
So it didn't work. It worked for a while, but now his prostate cancer is roaring back. It's coming back.
Right. He had a bone scan. The cancer did not spread.
Okay.
The doctors wanted to put him on hormone therapy, Lupron, which he does not want to take. And my question is relating, with the radiation he had, can there still be cancer in the prostate? And also, do you think he should take the Lupron or follow Dr. Espinosa's plan?
Okay, so I can't really comment on his particular case, but he certainly is a candidate for the natural support, you know, all the right dietary measures, all the right supplements, because whatever he does, whether he undertakes hormonal treatment, which is a problem, you know, hormonal treatment in an 81-year-old, it may slow the prostate cancer, but studies have shown that the hormonal treatment does not extend life. So you might get a benefit in terms of prostate cancer, but the ensuing problems, the loss of mojo, the weight gain, the diabetes that occurs when you take hormonal treatment, very likely that you might develop diabetes when you go on this hormonal treatment and knock out all your testosterone. So it's really an open question. Is there a benefit to this aggressive type of treatment? Or should we, you know, since the cancer is not emerging in the bones, maybe, just maybe, we should pursue a natural form of treatment if he's willing to make those drastic dietary changes, get in a very clean diet, begin at least a modest exercise program, a little more challenging sometimes for 81-year-olds to start, but you can always, you know, start something, and
something
to take the right supplements.
Dr. Espinosa's plan, then.
Yeah, it sounds like, yeah, that would be great. However, you know, so let me comment on the situation where a PSA is rising after radiation treatment has been given. Supposedly the radiation treatment eradicated the cancer. Well, unfortunately, sometimes you buy some time. The PSA goes way down and the person's fine. And then after a while, the PSA starts going up. And, you know, when it goes up, it means that the cancer is growing somewhere. And it may not be detectable. You may not find it via a bone scan. You may not find it via a CAT scan. Where is the cancer? Well, there may be some just tiny foci of cancer that are growing either within the prostate or outside of the prostate. But something's going on. When the PSA is going up, it means that some cells have escaped and are beginning to proliferate, and there's a chance that that cancer is going to just grow metastatic and occur in other parts of the body, you know, in the bones, in the lungs, you know, it can spread. So, but this is a situation where, you know, you can kind of live with this. And an 81-year-old, you know, maybe we want to extend his lifespan, you know, 10 or more years, fine. That's doable, I think. And maybe there's really a good argument for using just natural therapy in lieu of the hormonal treatment, which has some terrible side effects. It really can be very debilitating. It can be life-saving, but on the flip side, it can be very debilitating. So, I'm not going to make that decision for your friend, but definitely this natural approach as embodied in books like Thrive, Don't Survive by my guest, Dr. Gio Espinoza, he's here in New York, is a viable option. It's really a viable option worth pursuing.
It sounds like it. And does the radiation actually destroy the prostate?
Well, the radiation kind of obliterates the prostate. And, you know, so, but that doesn't mean that cancer has not possibly escaped from the prostate and has seeded other parts of the body. That's the problem. Yeah, we may have zapped the original tumor, but because some cells may have escaped, they may be out there producing PSA, indicative of a possible recurrence of cancer. All right?
Yeah.
Thanks very much for your call. Thanks for listening, Steve. Appreciate your call out there from out there in Akron, Ohio. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 888-302-3684. That's our number for this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.
The future of holistic health is here. Possessing the power to maintain wellness at the cellular level, RegActive is a revolutionary and remarkable new supplement that will transform the future of preventative and restorative health. RegActive features the innovative probiotic strain ME3, a patented probiotic with over 20 years of research proven to naturally stimulate and produce glutathione, the body's master antioxidant. Glutathione is used by all of our cells, especially in the fight against free radicals, environmental toxins, and the effects of aging. Our levels of glutathione decrease dramatically as we age, leaving us very vulnerable to age-related health issues. Revolutionary, remarkable, RegActive. RegActive is from Essential Formulas, renowned for introducing Dr. O'Hara's probiotics to the United States 15 years ago. Look for RegActive at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide where Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are sold.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System, a complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh. Why do I use Spry? Because it works?
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shop, and other fine natural products retailers.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you on a weekend. And we have a call from Minneapolis from Gene. How you doing, Gene? Welcome.
Well, I'm doing pretty good. It's a beautiful day here, and I want you to know that I really appreciate your program.
Thank you. A beautiful day in Minneapolis means it's above like 5 degrees Fahrenheit, right?
That's no, we're going to be 50, maybe 55.
Oh. You know,
and
yeah,
it's still February.
Yeah, I hear there's a wave of weather, warm weather coming our way. We're supposed to be 60 degrees in New York, so enjoy it while it lasts.
Fantastic. Yes, thank you. Everyone is. Everyone's talking about it. So,
yeah.
I'm calling today because, well, first let me say that I take very good care of myself, or I try to diet, exercise, get proper rest, and and I enjoy doing those things. So I'm really dismayed that and I work as an accountant, so I'm at a desk a lot, although I have a standing lift desk that I can raise and lower. So I do stand some, but
that's good ergonomics. That's what's called good ergonomics. When we have that kind of desk job, you need good ergonomics so you don't twist in uncomfortable positions and bend your neck and get a lot of strain.
Right, but apparently I have developed arthritis, some arthritis in my neck. The doctor says, well, it's there, and you know, I'm to where I have to take something every day to be able to do my job, and I love my job.
What's that something that you take every day? What is that something that you take?
Well, either to relieve or maybe some naproxen, and I don't like taking these things. Do you have any other suggestions?
Okay, well, you know, I think while you may get short-term benefits in terms of pain relief with those medications, long-term non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs can damage your intestinal tract. And if you don't get a full-blown ulcer, you know, which is the worst-case scenario, you can get what's called a leaky gut syndrome. So, you know, so with a situation like yours, well, first of all, you know, they may have done an MRI. They may have said, okay, you got neck arthritis. Well, that's par for the course for virtually everyone over 45 or 50. You're going to see some of that. So it may be some of this may be just musculoskeletal. It may respond to acupuncture, good chiropractic, massage. You know, these are some techniques that help. And also, you know, maybe some physical therapy, some proper neck exercises so that you mobilize your neck. You know, remember your head is, you know, it's a pretty heavy, you know, piece of equipment there, and it has to be held up with sometimes very tiny neck muscles. And sometimes by strengthening those neck muscles through exercise, you can alleviate the discomfort. The other thing is that I really recommend an anti-inflammatory diet. And that diet might consist of a trial of something like a paleo diet, where you eliminate modern foods. One of the reasons that I've undertaken a Whole 30 diet is, you know, at 63, you know, I got the usual aches and pains from a lot of exercise. And I find that my aches and pains are substantially alleviated by getting off common foods like the grains, dairy, excess sugar. Lots and lots of anti-inflammatory vegetables and fruits seem to make a big difference in terms of inflammation. Lots of fish oil can make a difference in terms of inflammation. And you can get that from dietary sources, or you can add it via supplementation. You can take curcumin, boswellin. These are wonderful anti-inflammatories. And ultimately, you know, you may not be consigned to a life of pain because, you know, maybe in spite of your healthy lifestyle, you could take it up a notch and see if an elimination diet reduces some of your discomfort. New book coming out. Interesting. It's called No Grain, No Pain. The suggestion is that by elimination of grain, you may alleviate some pain problems. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine. You're listening to Intelligent Medicine, brought to you by yours truly and the Hoffman Center. You can find a lot more on Intelligent Medicine at drhoffman.com. Subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast and automatically get a new episode 5 days a week. And please rate and review the podcast on iTunes to help us spread the word about Intelligent Medicine. Also go to drhoffman.com and click on the store to buy your supplements via our convenient internet portal or call the Hoffman Center and talk to one of our friendly supplement advisors. We only stock the very highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements I prescribe to my patients at the Hoffman Center. Finally, become a patient at the Hoffman Center. I'll personally perform an extensive workup on you, applying all the intelligent medicine principles you hear about on the radio show and podcast, or make an appointment with Layla Mudin, our Hoffman Center nutritionist. You already know her as a frequent contributor on intelligent medicine, and she'll provide you with expert advice on diet and supplements. Thanks for listening and for helping to spread the word about intelligent medicine. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. For even more Intelligent Medicine, you can subscribe to our newsletter. This week, focus on resilience. What does it take to surmount rather than to succumb? That's what we ponder in our weekly newsletter article. And we talk about mental attitude, and we talk about the benefits of exercise for enhancing resilience, but also about key foods and supplements and certain genetic traits that may help up our resilience. So check out our newsletter at drhoffman.com. Subscribe, and you'll get a weekly newsletter in your inbox. All right, 888-302-3684 is the number. And, you know, should you care not to call, well, that's okay, because you can email us your question to radioprogram@AOL.com. Radioprogram@AOL.com gets you through to us, and we'll use your question as grist for the mill for our weekly Q&A with Layla, which is a feature in our podcast series. We'll answer your questions via podcast. You listen to the podcast and get an answer to your most pressing health and nutrition queries. So we do have a caller. We have Pat from New Jersey. Welcome.
Dr. Hoffman, thanks so much for taking my call and for doing such a great show. I've learned so much from you.
Excellent. That's what it's all about.
My problem is I've been bloating for about 3 to 4 weeks now. There's no pain involved. It's mostly above my navel. I don't have any constipation. I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's thyroiditis, but I'm not currently on any medication for this.
Right.
And I'm wondering, what can I do about this, and what tests should my doctor be running?
Okay. All right. So bloating, I mean, really common complaint, and particularly in women. And for reasons that are probably hormonal and anatomical, women are much more prone to constipation and slow intestinal transit. So the bloating in that case might be below the navel. It might be lower abdominal bloating and sensation of fullness, incomplete elimination. But sometimes this is related to bacterial overgrowth or something that we call SIBO. That occurs in the small intestine. It's usually perceived higher up, sometimes above the belly button. And that may be something that you experience. Are you having a lot of belching, a lot of reflux, sensation of early satiety or nausea?
A little bit of reflux.
Mm-hmm.
I guess maybe I don't really have an appetite at all.
Oh, okay. Well, it's likely that you may have SIBO, or small intestine bacterial overgrowth. Now, this is something that doctors are beginning to test for. But often when you go to a gastroenterologist, they focus on, okay, well, let's do an upper GI via endoscopy. Let's look at the upper GI tract, you know, put a tube down your throat and see if you have an ulcer or gastritis or maybe GERD, reflux, hiatal hernia. Or they'll scope from below and they'll say, well, you know, make sure you don't have colon cancer. Make sure you don't have colitis. Fine. You don't. Okay. Well, then you just have irritable bowel syndrome, which is just a diagnosis of exclusion. It's kind of like, well, no, we can't find anything. So hence you've got that. You've got, you know, basically it's a fancy word for indigestion. The SIBO test is a test where you drink a substance and then you breathe into a bag. The test that we use at the Hoffman Center is a take-home test, and then you send the filled-up bags via mail to a place that analyzes the gas production and then gives you some feedback as to whether you have a fermentation vat in your gastrointestinal tract. I think that's the best way to put it. You know, when you ferment alcohol, you have a distillery, you know, like making moonshine. It actually produces a lot of certain types of gases, particularly hydrogen. And some people have a fermentation vat in their gastrointestinal tract. That's what SIBO is. They're making a lot of gas because there's bacterial or fungal proliferation, overgrowth of bad bacteria or yeast in their gastrointestinal tract. And as a result, they feel bloated and distended. They may burp or belch. Or if it's lower down, they'll have a lot of flatulence. And so the treatment for that, conventionally, and you see ads for this on TV, is there's an antibiotic called Xifaxan, which really kind of fits the pharmaceutical model because, great, you know, find a bug, use a drug. And that's okay for people with serious gastrointestinal problems, but the vast majority of people, after a while, it recurs. And then what do? You take this expensive antibiotic again and again and again. Well, you develop antibiotic resistance, and, you know, ultimately that's a dead end. So we modify the diet. We put people on what we call a FODMAPS diet. You can look it up. It's a resource that's available on the Internet. It's a diet that is lower in certain fermentable carbohydrates in particular, and that may involve elimination of wheat or other grains. Certain types of fruit, which produce a lot of gas production, cabbage family vegetables, which are gaseous, And that's a diet that often alleviates the SIBO. Then you take probiotics to put good bacteria back in, perhaps take some herbs to gently reduce the bacterial load in the gastrointestinal tract or the fungal load. And that's a treatment. That's a treatment for the type of problem that you have that's, you know, probably more effective than what you're going to get from a mainstream gastroenterologist. More and more, I think, gastros are being tuned into the diet dimensions associated with these problems, but they're playing catch-up ball because naturopaths and integrated medical doctors have been talking about this for a long time. So that, I think, might be, you know, a useful way to approach your problem. You know, of course, if you have persistent bloating, real discomfort, real loss of appetite, you got to get a workup. You got to, you know, have a doctor do a look-see, maybe do an endoscopy to make sure nothing serious is going on. But if it's a, you know, minor problem and it responds to diet, you don't need to go through all those arduous and expensive tests. Okay?
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I do appreciate it.
My pleasure. SIBOinfo.com or .org is a good place to find information about small intestine bacterial overgrowth. That's a website that talks about SIBO. All right. You know, apropos the caller earlier who was experiencing lots of neck pain, you know, pain's a serious problem in Americans. So many Americans are taking heavy-duty pain-killing medication, and there's a lot of people literally hooked on this type of medication. So interesting study that looks at the relationship between financial stress and pain, and the findings, according to the Journal of the Association for Psychological Science, are very revealing. Overall, our findings reveal that it physically hurts to be economically insecure. What they've found is that looking at nearly 34,000 individuals, households in which both adults were unemployed spent 20% more on over-the-counter painkillers in 2008. Compared with households in which at least one adult was working. So your perception of pain, I mean, look, pain is real, no question. People have arthritis, they have injuries, they have headaches. They have many ways in which they experience pain. Virtually the majority of Americans experience pain at some point in their lifetimes and often chronically. But economic security might be linked with tolerance for pain. In other words, the pain's real, but your tolerance, the threshold at which you experience pain, might be lower if you're experiencing economic insecurity. They did a study on students to check their pain tolerance threshold. They measured how long they could comfortably keep their hand in a bucket of ice water, which is a frequent model for studying pain. Students who were prompted to think about entering a stable job market showed no change in pain tolerance. But the students who were uncertain about their prospects in the current job market showed a decrease in pain tolerance. They could keep their hand in the bucket of ice water for a shorter period of time. So real-life phenomena, social phenomena, economic circumstances may change the way the brain interprets pain. And in comparable studies, overall, it's been found that African-Americans in America have a greater susceptibility to chronic pain syndromes. Is it socioeconomic disadvantage? Is it a higher rate of unemployment? It's uncertain to what degree that plays a role in their perception of pain. But it may very well be an important factor. 888-302-3684 is our number. Mobile phones are cooking men's sperm. How many of you, or how many people that you know, keep their phones in places that they shouldn't? I sometimes see gals working out in the gym, and they got these sports bras on, and they tuck their phone in the cleavage. and they got their headphones on as they're working out on the Stairmaster or the elliptical. And that's not a good place to put a phone. Guys sometimes put the phone in the hip pocket, which is just a few inches away from a very, very crucial part of your anatomy. So here's an interesting study. Study finds sperm levels of men who kept their phones in their pocket, I'm talking about their hip pocket, front pocket, during the day, were quite seriously affected in 47% of cases. Having a mobile phone close to the testicles or within a foot or two of the body can lower sperm levels so much that conceiving could be difficult. Not such a good idea. We think this is being caused by a heating of the sperm from the phone and by electromagnetic activity. You know a little bit about physics. What phones do is they're constantly searching. They're constantly searching for I don't know the precise electronic terminology, but they're constantly looking for signal. And they send out electromagnetic waves in an effort to hook on to signal. Those electromagnetic waves travel a fair distance. And so suggestion is that you keep your phone away from crucial parts of your body. I carry a phone, but I carry it in a briefcase that I hold outside my body. I don't like to tuck it into my coat pocket close to my heart. I don't like to put it down below because that's not a good place either. And something's going on there because if it affects fertility, maybe, just maybe, it has other harmful effects on the body, such as perhaps increasing the risk for certain types of cancer, pain syndromes, and the like. In this particular study performed in Israel, the team monitored more than 100 men attending a fertility clinic for a year, and they found that there was a definite correlation between the close proximity of the phone to the business end of fertility, that was a very, very real association. 888-302-3684. We want your phone calls, and we got lots more to share with you on this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.
Do you know there is a silent killer living among us? High blood pressure. It affects nearly 1 in 3 Americans and is a primary risk factor for stroke and heart attack. The CDC estimates that almost 20% of those with high blood pressure don't even know they have it. That's not surprising, since high blood pressure or hypertension is often symptomless. Research studies have shown that a daily dose of aged garlic extract can safely and effectively help to reduce blood pressure, as well as benefiting a number of other cardiovascular risk factors. And the most researched and highly respected aged garlic extract is all-natural Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Odorless and organically grown, Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract has been clinically tested to support blood pressure and cardiovascular health. So, along with getting your blood pressure checked regularly, get Kyolic Formula 109 for blood pressure and cardiovascular support today. Available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. Colonoscopy is the mainstay of our preventive approach to colon cancer. Once you reach the age of 50, you are reminded incessantly, get your colonoscopy. And then once you've had your colonoscopy, you got to get it again a few years later. So on and on it goes. Colonoscopies, not the most pleasant experience in the world. Hey, I think I'm going to go get a colonoscopy. Well, no, maybe that's not your idea of a good time. So let's go a few notches up in latitude across the border to Canada, where now Canadian experts say no to colonoscopy for colon cancer screening. So what's up with that? Is the Canadian system so imbued with the notion of rationing health care that they no longer want to provide expensive colonoscopies to the citizens of Canada? It's socialized medicine up there. And are they putting Canadian folks at risk? in order to reduce healthcare costs. You know, there's a lot of debate about the Canadian system. Is it superior or inferior to the U.S. system? Depends who you talk to. Some Canadians say it's great. You know, you get virtually free medical care. Other Canadians say if you really need something done, you go on a waiting list. If you want an MRI, forget about it. It might take 6 to 12 months to get an ordinary MRI if you have an injury, find out what the heck is going on. Is this sensible cost containment and rational medicine? Because we know there's a lot of excessive procedures and testing and unnecessary drugs and expenses here in the United States. Or is it just an effort to deprive Canadians of the type of health care that they're entitled to? Okay, so the Canadian Task Force on Preventive Health Care has recently recommended, that's the commission or the agency that determines what they're going to cover and what they're going to allow within the Canadian national health care system. This Canadian Task Force on Preventive Health Care now recommends that colonoscopy should not be used to screen adults for colon cancer. So what does that mean? Are they just writing off large segments of the Canadian population? No. Instead, they suggest testing for either microscopic amounts of blood in the stool or using a new test called FIT. That stands for fecal immunochemical testing. All right. So what's up with that? Well, a couple of ways. You know, old-fashioned way, and this has been done in the United States, they give you a card. And the card tests for blood in your stool, which is not a very accurate way to determine if you have colon cancer because you have blood for a lot of reasons. You could have a hemorrhoid, you got a minor rectal tear, or in some cases, the tests are interfered with if you have a lot of red meat. That tests positive on the test, and so they tell you don't have red meat. But that's not a very accurate way to screen for colon cancer. So they've developed new tests, the FIT tests, which are immunochemical tests that light up in response to the type of DNA that is associated specifically with colon cancer. And these tests are getting better and better. One of the tests here in the United States, just one of the tests, it's called Cologuard. Cologuard is available by prescription only and has to be ordered by your physician. Most commonly, you'd discuss screening with your primary care physician or nurse practitioner or other healthcare provider as part of a regular wellness appointment. Cologuard, you can't go to a store and buy it over the counter, but you can get it prescribed. And how effective is it? Well, they did a study of 10,000 people of average risk for colon cancer, and Cologuard found 92% of cancer, which is pretty good. Colonoscopy, by the way, doesn't find all the cancer. It also has a failure rate. But it was also negative in 87% of patients without cancer or advanced precancerous lesions. So there's some false positives, some false negatives. Is it a perfect substitute for colonoscopy? No. At high-risk individuals still need colonoscopies, but as a screening method, it's pretty good. So they now say the updated recommendations in Canada are that you use the FOBT or test, which is the fecal occult blood test. That's the card that reads whether there's blood in the stool, or better yet, the FIT test every 2 years. Or you can get a flexible sigmoidoscopy every 10 years. That's not as invasive. It still goes up there, but it's not as, you know, traumatic. It's a smaller scope. It doesn't go up as far. And they say that they're against screening adults age 75 years and older because actually studies do not demonstrate an improvement in colon cancer death risk from such screening. I mean, they're looking at the science. And you may say that the Canadians are throwing some people under the bus by rationing colonoscopy, but in some ways this may be a more rational approach. And they also recognize that some people, no way, no how, are going to get a colonoscopy. Tell them as much as you want, you got to get a colonoscopy. They're just not going to do it. So recognizing that a recommendation to do something where some people aren't going to do it is not an effective recommendation. They're saying use the card, use the FIT test, and that is a viable alternative for people south of the border here in the United States who want to get screened for colon cancer without getting a tube stuck up you know where using the FIT test. I recommend the Cologuard test to many of my patients. All right, thanks for joining us for this hour. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We invite you to call us 888-302-3684.